Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Story of Silver by William L. Silber traces how a single metal influenced commerce, politics, technology, and global power from the early modern era through the 20th century. Rather than treating silver as a narrow topic for collectors or investors, Silber uses it as a lens for understanding how money systems evolve and why financial choices ripple into everyday life. The book connects silver mining booms, international trade routes, and shifting monetary standards to key American turning points, including westward expansion, political conflict over currency, and the rise of modern finance. It also links U.S. developments to wider global dynamics, such as Asian demand for silver, European imperial competition, and the emergence of new industrial uses. Written for general readers as well as history and economics enthusiasts, the narrative shows how debates about sound money, inflation, speculation, and government intervention repeatedly reappear in different forms. Silver becomes a surprisingly effective guide to understanding the modern world. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, silver as a global money before modern banking. A central topic is how silver functioned as a widely accepted monetary metal long before today's electronic payments and central bank-dominated systems. The book situates silver in the practical problem every expanding economy faces: how to settle transactions reliably across distances and political borders. Because silver could be weighed, tested, and divided, it became a portable standard for value that helped integrate markets even when trust in governments was uneven. This monetary role shaped international trade, especially where merchants needed a medium recognized beyond local coinage. Silber emphasizes that silver's importance was never only about mining output, it was also about credibility, convertibility, and the institutional rules that made coins and bullion usable as made. Readers see how the flow of silver between regions supported commercial networks and how disruptions in supply and demand could tighten credit, change prices, and alter political decisions. By framing silver as a system, not just a commodity, the narrative clarifies why monetary debates are recurring. Societies keep renegotiating the balance between stable value, sufficient liquidity, and the power to manage crises. Silver's early monetary dominance becomes a foundation for understanding later transitions to gold standards and, eventually, fiat money. Secondly, American expansion, mining booms, and economic shockwaves. Another major topic is the relationship between silver discoveries in the American West and the broader transformation of the United States. Silber connects mining booms to migration, town building, railroad development, and the emergence of new business fortunes, showing how a resource rush can accelerate state formation and infrastructure. But the book also underlines that silver's impact did not stay local. As output expanded, it influenced national debates about money supply, prices, and debt burdens, affecting farmers, wage earners, lenders, and industrialists differently. The story highlights how speculation and investment followed silver, with promoters, financiers, and local politicians often shaping expectations and channeling capital into risky ventures. These cycles created winners and losers and fed public arguments about fairness and opportunity. Silver thus becomes a case study in how commodities can drive both real economic development and financial instability at the same time. The broader lesson is that resource-driven growth tends to amplify existing tensions. Regions compete for investment. Politicians respond to constituencies harmed by price swings, and national policy gets pulled between short-term relief and long-term credibility. Through silver, the reader can see how the economic map of America changed alongside its financial architecture. Thirdly, bimetallism, the gold standard, and the politics of money, the book treats the struggle over monetary standards as a defining theme, using silver to explain why currency policy becomes emotionally charged and politically decisive. Silber explores how bimetallism and later the gold standard were not merely technical choices, they redistributed wealth and risk. When a country ties money to a metal, the available supply of that metal and the chosen conversion rules influence inflation, deflation, and the real burden of debts. That means monetary policy can favor debtors or creditors, rural or urban interests, and different regions of the country. The silver question in American politics illustrates how economic arguments get translated into mass movements, party platforms, and elections, with people interpreting monetary policy through lived experience such as falling crop prices, tight credit, or job insecurity. The narrative also shows how policymakers face trade-offs between domestic pressures and international credibility, especially when global capital flows rewarded stability and punished uncertainty. By following these debates, readers gain a clearer understanding of why central banking, rules-based policy, and international monetary coordination emerged as attempts to reduce recurring instability. Silver becomes a pathway to grasp how money is both a social contract and a political battleground. Fourthly, international power, trade balances, and monetary rivalries. Silver extends the story beyond the United States to show silver's role in global influence and competition. Monetary metals matter because they affect trade settlement and reserves, and therefore a nation's ability to import goods, finance wars, and project power. The book links silver flows to the mechanics of trade imbalances, explaining how countries that attracted bullion could expand commerce and credit, while those losing it could face contraction and political stress. This topic also highlights that the value of silver was shaped by international decisions, legal tender rules, mint policies, and coordinated or conflicting standards among major economies. In this sense, silver sits at the intersection of diplomacy and markets. The reader sees how shifts in global demand and changes in monetary regimes could reorder economic relationships among continents, intensify rivalries, and influence domestic policy choices. Rather than presenting world events as disconnected episodes, Silber uses silver to trace a through line of incentives. Governments want stable currency and strategic flexibility, merchants want reliable settlement, and populations want prosperity with manageable prices. The broader insight is that monetary order is a form of infrastructure for global cooperation, and when that infrastructure fractures, the consequences extend from exchange rates to political legitimacy. Lastly, from money metal to industrial asset and investment signal, a final key topic is silver's transformation in the modern era when its monetary dominance receded and new roles gained prominence. Silber explains how technological change and industrial demand reshaped silver's identity, pushing it further into the realm of manufacturing inputs and market-traded assets. As monetary systems moved toward gold and then toward fiat currency managed by institutions, silver increasingly reflected investor sentiment, inflation expectations, and shifts in industrial usage rather than serving as the primary anchor of money. This transition matters because it reveals how markets repurpose assets when institutions change. Silver can act as a hedge, a speculative vehicle, or a strategic material depending on the period, and its price can become a noisy but meaningful signal about confidence in policy and the economy. The book highlights that modern finance does not erase the lessons of earlier metal-based systems, it reframes them. Scarcity, trust, and credibility still govern value, but they operate through central banks, regulatory frameworks, and global capital markets instead of coinage alone. By the end, readers understand silver as an evolving mirror of economic structure, reminding us that money and markets are tools that societies continually redesign. In conclusion, this book fits readers who enjoy narrative history with real economic stakes, general nonfiction fans, students of American development, and anyone curious about how money policy shapes daily life. Investors and finance professionals will also benefit, not because it offers trading tips, but because it clarifies the long-run forces that drive monetary regimes, confidence, and price stability. The main benefit is perspective. Silver shows how arguments over inflation, debt burdens, speculation, and government credibility are not new. They recur whenever societies change how value is measured and exchanged. Seeing silver's influence across mining towns, national elections, and global trade helps readers connect headlines about currency, commodities, and policy to deeper patterns of incentives and constraints. Compared to similar books that focus narrowly on a single panic, a single metal, or a single political episode, this one offers a unifying thread that ties many events together without losing the human story. It is worth buying because it makes economic history memorable, turning complex monetary questions into a coherent narrative about power, opportunity, and unintended consequences. The result is both informative and surprisingly relevant to modern debates about money and stability. If you would like to support William L. Silber, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.